Hi, and welcome to the Solo Life with Karen Swim of Solo PR Pro. I'm so excited today to welcome my very special guest, Dr. Glenn McElhinney. Glenn is the president and CEO of Transform for Life, a company that helps people to experience wholeness through change in mind, heart, and behavior. He has over 35 years of experience providing counseling and consulting for individuals, couples, families, and organizations. He's been an associate professor of psychology for over 10 years and has a doctorate of ministry degree in pastoral counseling from Westminster Theological Seminary and a master of divinity degree from Grace Theological Seminary. Glenn, I'm so thankful to have you here with us today to share from your wealth of experience.
Well, thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
So can you tell us a little bit more about your company, Transformed for Life?
Sure. My work has always been based on that I believe people don't have to be stuck where they are, either personally or in relationships or in work opportunities. So I think it's always been about that there's always the opportunity to transform yourself or the situation. And that's always been my bottom line agenda, has always been to help people become better and different at what they're doing.
Well, that's really interesting. You have such a long resume. We only read such a short part of it. I'm curious, what prompted you to make the transition from your former professional life to starting your own company?
Well, as I thought about this question, I guess it started, but I didn't recognize it initially. When I was doing my graduate work, we had to have 900 hours of internship, and the clinic only had 2 hours a week for us. And so obviously that was going to take too long. So I ended up contacting organizations to find out if they'd like to have someone come one day a week and do counseling. And so I got my 900 hours by doing that. And then, you know, I followed the professional track, you know, college professor, and then I worked in a large church organization for about 15 and a half years, and there were some cutbacks. So our department had a cutback. So all of a sudden, I was back to where I had started out, contacting people again. And so that's been a great journey for me because it's given me a lot more freedom now to meet with people in different places in different ways. It's opened up opportunities to do the assessment we're going to talk about, and just new opportunities to help people continue to grow. So I think what's important is when a person knows what their core theme is, what their core value is, then the environment is, in one sense, is irrelevant. So I just see myself as a flexible, and it's another adventure in life. It's another opportunity to do the same thing that I've always been doing.
That's really interesting.
Yeah, kind of necessity all of a sudden. And at first I had a negative thought about it. It's like, oh my gosh, after 30 years, I'm back to where I started. And initially I took that as a negative, like I haven't accomplished anything. So my wife was quick to smack me in the head and tell me that wasn't true. And then I had gotten together with a coach who had given me the assessment we're going to talk about today. And the one thing that I didn't realize is that she said in my assessment, she goes, this shows that you're an entrepreneur. And I thought to myself, no, that's not true. So I kind of argued with her, and she challenged me. She said, when you had the cutback in your job, what did you do? And I said, well, I started contacting people and organizations. And she goes, yeah, you're an entrepreneur. You knew exactly what to do. You didn't sit home and wait for 6 weeks to try to figure things out. So I've come to the realization about entrepreneurship and solopreneurship kind of through the back door. It's not something I thought I was or could do, but it actually has been true for me.
That's very encouraging to hear, because I know that many members of our audience, some were very intentional about taking the entrepreneurial path, and for others, maybe they started down that path out of necessity and really didn't think of themselves as entrepreneurs until they were actually running their own business. So it's encouraging to hear that someone with such a great wealth of experience can relate to our audience as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
In your work, you talk a lot about transforming and getting to this place of wholeness. And those are words that we sort of hear a lot, but what does wholeness really mean? And why is that important to, you know, entrepreneurs in their career?
Well, I look at wholeness not a little differently than maybe the traditional psychology field looks at. I look at wholeness as a sense of contentment with who I am and who I'm designed to be, and not trying to pursue being someone else. Because I think the moment we start comparing ourselves to others, and I make statements like, I wish I were like them, and I try to be them, then that becomes an enormous distraction for me to really rely on and go deep with who I actually am as a person. So I think wholeness is not about that there's no gaps in my life. There's always going to be hurts. There's always going to be betrayals. There's injustices. So there's always those kind of things in life. And so I think wholeness doesn't mean those gaps will necessarily be filled. But I think for me as an individual, I have the opportunity to transform my situation, who I am, the more I dig deeply into who I actually am. And I think one of the keys, and I guess this is more my counseling background from dealing with people who struggle with identity, you know, and philosophers for thousands of years, you know, the question is, who am I? And that's just a human nature question to ask. But I think in our culture, we're so busily focused on who I am, we never look at who I'm not. And if I can begin to own who I'm not, then that frees me from a distraction and allows my energies to go into who I actually am. So that's a unique twist that I think we really as a culture fail to see. Because when we think of who we're not, we see that as negative. But I think when we see who we're not, because there's other people who are better equipped to do things than I am. I'm not a complete package. And I think sometimes that's the failure of entrepreneurs and solopreneurs. If you think you need to be or you are a complete package, then you're really hurting yourself, because you're not open to that there's another person or group of people who could really help you excel to accomplish your goals. So I think part of the key where a lot of people get stuck is they're so distracted, or they feel like they're spinning their wheels, is because they spend a lot of time working on who they're not and trying to improve that. And that's never going to accomplish anything.
I really like that distinction, because you're right. So often when we think of wholeness, we don't think that that means embracing the totality of life, including, as you noted, the gaps and the cracks mm-hmm. and the things that are imperfect. We think of wholeness being some idealistic version of perfection. And I agree, in our culture today, especially with social media, where we get snippets of the personal and professional lives of others, it's quite easy to have a distorted vision of what that looks like. And for solo PR pros particularly, we, you know, traditionally work very much on our own. Mm-hmm. Yeah, right. We have team members, and, you know, some of us even have employees, but, you know, really it's us. And so you do sort of find yourself looking around to kind of judge what's normal. You know, are these things I'm doing, are they normal? But I love what you said, because it's really about, you know, uniting the parts of ourselves, the good, the bad, and, you know, what's lacking and what's not lacking. So that's pretty insightful. Thank you.
Yeah. And that actually gives you a greater clarity, because then you have a competency and a confidence to know what direction you need to go in.
That's so true. That is very true. I love that. Hmm. So, you know, you have this huge wealth of experience over the years, and in your experience, you know, the wholeness that you talk about and getting to that place, are most people experiencing that, or do you find that it's truly lacking?
I think in many cases it's lacking, but I think it's lacking to various degrees. Some people it's really debilitating, and other people, you know, can press on and in one sense be successful, but there's still a recognition. I'm carrying like a 50-pound weight with me all the time, wherever I go. So I think it's because a lot of times, depending on our background and environment and family dynamics and things like that, we've heard a lot of negativity. And I think sometimes we end up believing the lies of other people about us. And to whatever degree I believe the lies, then that becomes a weight to me. So I think I always think continuum. So I think it's, you know, some people have 10-pound weights, some people have 100-pound weights. But I think there's always that identity of human nature, of who I am, and is this all I can be? And so I think that's always a wrestling point. So I think clarity is really helpful to an individual to know and have confidence in what direction they need to go.
Wow. Now, in your work, I mean, I know that you've worked with individuals and worked with organizations and families. You've really kind of dug into the spectrum of experience. In terms of, you know, are there common challenges that you sort of see across the spectrum that prevent people from having like this best life where they're truly embracing who they are and not getting caught up in, you know, comparisons and being distracted by that?
Yeah, one of the exercises I do with people, because I think people inherently know things, even the most, you know, person suffering from the low self-esteem or depression with things about their job or career or whatever, or family, what I have them do is to list the lies that you believe, because I think internally people know who they are, but sometimes they're under the weight of the lies of that they've been told over years, and they end up believing the lies. So it's kind of like they exchange the truth of who they know themselves to be and embrace the lie, and then the lie about themselves inadvertently becomes their truth, which is why they get paralyzed. So I have them list, what are the lies that you have believed about yourself? And then once they've done that, then I think the reason, my observation is, the reason the person believes a lie is because there's some element of truth in it. And I need to be honest about what's the truth. So for me, for someone to say, I'm an idiot in math, they'd be correct. I am an idiot in math. Now, if I believe that prevented me from being successful, you know, then I'm stuck. So a real personal example is, because I am an idiot in math, and my son and wife are math and science people, and I'm not. So every once in a while, my son will say to me, okay, you've never had a chemistry or a biology class in your life, and you've achieved all this. How does that make sense? He says, so you're really not very smart in math. And I said to him one time, I said, well, the family trip to Europe where I got invited to speak at an international conference, you got to go because I'm not good at math. I didn't go to speak and be invited to talk about math. I invited to be talked about relationships and how people can change even in different cultures. So that kind of quiets him down. But owning that, but there is a kernel of truth to the fact that for me, I'm not good at math. So if someone says you're an idiot at math, if I don't accept the kernel of truth of that, then I'm going to live under the bondage and see the whole thing as a lie, rather than, guess what? You're right. I am an idiot at math, but what I'm called to do doesn't require math. And so that's where freedom comes from. So I think when a person embraces the lies, I think they know that they're lies, but I think they need to put it down on paper, write it out to own it, and then say, okay, so what's the kernel of truth? But the kernel of truth doesn't define you negatively for life. It's just part of your reality. And so you're able to filter out. So I would never accept any kind of opportunity that involves math. You know, as a college professor, stats and research methods are part of a curriculum, which I had at undergraduate and graduate school, but I'm not competent to teach that and never taught that class in my 12 years as a college professor. So you have to, I think, really look at what are the lies that you believe and own that, and then you move on from there. So I think, there again, it's kind of a counterintuitive to look at the lies, which seems negative, but there's real freedom because if I can recognize the kernel of truth, then I own that and I move on. So hopefully that makes sense to people.
That is, yeah, that's pretty game changing. And I know that as solo PR pros, it's quite easy to have those doubts or to allow those things that we're not good at. For example, there may be some people that believe, you know, I'm not great at media relations, so I can't do this business. And that's not true, which is where it comes in. And I love what you said about writing it down, which really allows you to, I think, achieve greater clarity because you're writing it and there's that greater connection with it. But also it's something that you can refer to. And if there are areas that are your weakness, as a solo PR pro, you get to design your own business. You can either not offer that service or you can hire somebody that is good at that exactly. to work with you with those clients. So that's great. So what you're really saying is that the first step on this whole road to wholeness is owning what we're not good at and not seeing that as a negative, but understanding it and embracing that that's part of who we are.
Exactly. Exactly.
That's fantastic. Now, in your work, you use something called the Pro-D assessment tool. Can you tell us a little bit about that? You know, how does that tool work?
Well, the Pro-D assessment is a unique assessment because, like a lot of assessments, you know, StrengthFinder and DISC and, you know, all, you know, Myers-Briggs and all the others that are out there, take one or two aspects, like they'll take career, they'll take personality, or they'll do things like that. But what the Pro-D does, it takes your passion, your mission, what gets you up in the morning, and the uniqueness is, it assesses your competencies, your innate hardwired abilities, and then your style, your behavior, your attitudes, and it does a convergence of those three. And there's no other assessment that takes those three and converges them to give you a profile. So the success of the Pro-D, which is what got me started because I got exposed to it, started down this road, is because when you have something that says through 22,000 algorithms and stuff that this is who you are, this is what you're competent to do, and this is what your passion is, you can look at the different grids. So there's 9 career value areas that the Pro-D assesses. And then you come with a profile. And then you come with a core theme about what your passion is. And when you can look at that every day, to know that's never going to change because part of it comes from your innate hardwired abilities, there's great freedom to move forward and, again, to embrace what I'm not good at and to let that go. So that's just the major uniqueness, that it actually assesses your hardwired competencies. And then there's other things that it offers. It offers what kind of work culture is best for you to work in. It gives you some educational things. If you're going to, it's a strength assessment. So here's some educational areas that will help you to continue to grow. It'll give you some caution areas, like when you're having a bad day, based on your profile, this is how you're probably going to behave. So if you know that up front, then you can see, you know, it coming, so to speak. So there's a lot of uniqueness in what this gives you. It also gives you an assessment of who you are when you're a team leader and who you are when you're a team member, because those are two different roles. And if you don't know the distinction of what your role is in that moment, then likely you're either going to not be a great communicator, or you're going to ruffle people's feathers, or you're going to help people create a negative image of yourself because what you're doing isn't appropriate for the moment.
Yeah, that's very true. Now, I know that most of us, you know, in the audience have probably taken a number of these tests, you know, DISC and StrengthFinder and Myers-Briggs over the years in our corporate careers. And yeah, sometimes having those insights as we go into running our own business can be helpful.
Right.
But tell me a little bit about specifically, you know, why you think the solo PR pro who may have already been in business and is loving their job and loving what they do and loving the people that they work with, what kind of insights can they gain from something like the Pro-D assessment?
Well, I think the Pro-D assessment, you know, even for the person that's even having some success, What it helps is to give you a greater clarity of what you're actually doing. And if this is appropriate, I've got a statement from a person who's very successful as a solopreneur, and they took the assessment piece. And can I read you what they said that the ProD did for them as a solopreneur?
Yeah, I'd love that. That would be great.
Okay, this person said, the number one thing that comes to mind is clarity. Definitely. It gave me the clarity and confidence to remove much of what was dragging me down and frustrating me. Now, remember, this is from a very successful person. As a result, I'm saying no to things that I thought I had to do in the past and not move forward. I've been struggling with my direction, but this gave me the fuel to boost my movement. It allowed me to further reinvent myself, my focus and direction without second-guessing myself. So I think the wholeness and the clarity, life experience continues to refine me and give me greater insight. So what this person was learning is, even in their success, they were still doing things that they thought they ought to do, but realized through the process and the assessment piece that they don't need to do that. And in actuality, the person that took this, they were in the midst of writing two business proposals. And they went home that afternoon after meeting with me, and they changed those two proposals dramatically because they took things out that they realized they didn't need to offer. So,
wow, so
I think growth.
Freedom that I think that a lot of solo PR pros can relate to. I've had that experience as well, where you find yourself doing something, or maybe it's something that you've been offering for a number of years, and you know, suddenly there's that frustration that creeps in, this dissatisfaction, and you don't have the kind of the hard facts that clue you in to what's making you unhappy and what's taking away from you enjoying your job. So it sounds like something like this can, like you said, bring about that aha moment of the things that you maybe need to eliminate. And that does, you're right, that does can change over time with our life experience. Is something that we enjoyed, you know, 5 years ago may not work for us 5 years later.
Correct. And I think the biggest thing what this person said is that it prevents the second guessing. Like if I'm struggling, like, you know, this really isn't doing much for me, or this is taking more time than I have because other things are on my plate in my business. There's always that what if. Well, what if I don't do this, or what if I don't offer, or what if I don't seek this type of client? And then when you start the what if, I think doubt is the greatest destruction to any entrepreneur or solopreneur. Because as soon as I doubt, I start playing the what if questions and the what if games. And the reason it's a dark hole is because there's no answer to what if. And so if you can remove the second guessing by having confidence, this is who I am, and then conversely, who I'm not, then I can let go of, take some of these things off my plate that maybe were essential to start out with, but are no longer essential because my business is growing. It's growing in a different direction. I've recognized more things about myself where I'm really good in this one area. Maybe I need to just focus, you know, on this type of person. So I would say over the years, even in my counseling, when I needed 900 hours for my graduate work, I would meet with anybody because I need 900 hours. But over time and experience, I realized there's certain types of people that I'm not really successful with. I don't help them the way that I think I ought to. So in that sense, what I always told my master class students was, when you get to that point, you need to recognize who you're not really able to help. And that's how you build a referral basis, because there's someone else who has that niche and they're more skilled in that. And if you can own that, then you've been successful.
That's really helpful. And it, you know, having that clarity, like you said, allows you, because sometimes it's scary, you know, for the solo PR pro to walk away from any type of business, even when you're successful and you've been successful for years, to turn your back on something. But to know that in turning your back on the things that are not right for you, that it really opens you up to better serve the people that really are a better fit for you, your skill set, and that will bring you joy, is more empowering, I think.
Absolutely.
So we talked a little bit about, you know, maybe the person that's already in their, you know, solo career and having a level of success and how something like this can help them. Is this also something that people who might be considering striking out on their own, you know, can they gain value from this in sort of building the right business or even, you know, assessing whether or not they're really cut out for a solo career?
Yeah, it's not going to specifically do that, but when you get a profile of what your greatest strengths are and you get a profile of what culture you best work in. So if you're a solopreneur, you're going to create your own culture. So in one sense, what kind of culture do you want to create? Because you're going to work in that and you're defining that, and that becomes empowering to you. And then I think it also, I read an article that was from one of the entrepreneur solopreneur magazines, and it was dated a couple years ago. But this person was writing about solopreneurship, and they said passion is the most important thing. And in that moment, I just cringed because I thought that's not true, because I can have great passion about the wrong thing. And so I can fail or not succeed because I've got a lot of passion, but it's directed at the wrong area, or my strength doesn't allow that to become a reality. And if I experience failure, then a lot of people just give up. Well, apparently I'm not cut out for being a solopreneur. So again, the Pro D takes what your passion is, but it lines it up with and converges with what you're actually hardwired to do. So that gives you a greater confidence if you're thinking about this or you're wanting more clarity, then that's a great asset to have, that I don't have to have passion about the wrong thing. So I don't know what your thoughts are, but I think passion can be misdirected. And I think a lot of people get encouragement from friends or family. That's great. You're good at this. Go do this. And, you know, that might be very well intended and there might be a skill set that's there, but is it really one that's going to build a career for you? And is it really going to engage in? And I think all of us in solopreneur worlds are seeking to change the culture in some way, because we're offering something to people that we hope will be transformative at some level.
I agree. Yeah, I've unfortunately over the years seen a lot of businesses fizzle out because of, as you said, misdirected passion. Sometimes that passion, I've experienced, I have a passion for writing. And initially I was, you know, starting a business that was going to focus on writing, but that passion that I had was soon lost because it became a job. And so my passion for writing was better as a hobby, but I was able to channel that skill set into something bigger and broader that I truly do enjoy. So I agree with you that, yeah, that's not the only thing that an entrepreneur needs for sure. Right. And it definitely can be misdirected. So I love that you sort of call that out and can help us to have some clarity around that as well.
Yeah, because solopreneurship has struggle. You know, there's struggle in that. And you have to be sure that the struggle is just a normal part of me being successful, or is the struggle in part because I'm headed in the wrong direction. Those are two different ways to deal with a similar situation.
Exactly. I agree. Well, Glenn, I mean, this has been amazing information that you've shared today, and personally gives me a lot to think about as well. And I thank you so much for sharing from your experience and also sharing more about the Pro-D assessment. So for those listeners who are out there going, I need that, you know, I really want to learn more, how can they contact you?
Well, I have a page, and I don't know if you'll be able to post it for people that would be contacting you, but if they go to Transformed ED, the number 4, life, transformforlife.solutions, then /solopr, and the S is capital and the PR is capital. That will take you to a page where you can contact me and get two things for free. You can get free message map for solopreneurs that talks about what your strengths are, what the problem is, what solutions and what results are you expecting. So that's a message map I've designed, and people can read that. And then also, as you look at this, if you're interested, I'm offering a free 15-minute phone call to anyone who's interested that wants to discuss more personally their situation and how they'd like to be more helped by the Pro-D. So transformedforlife.solutions/solo PR.
Perfect. Really appreciate that. And thank you so much for putting together some special offers just for our solo PR tribe. We always love when people think of us and put together specific resources. It's been a joy to talk to you, Glenn, and I look forward to learning more from you. Thank you so much for our chat today.
Yeah, and thank you for the opportunity to just share with your group of solopreneurs, because they are transforming the culture with what they're doing. So it's exciting to help and come alongside people who are really interested in success.
Fantastic. Well, thank you everyone for listening to this episode of That Solo Life. It's been a joy to have you again. I'm Karen Swem with Solo PR Pro. If you are not a Solo PR Pro member of our free community or our premium community, you can follow us on social media at Solo PR on Twitter, Instagram, and we have a Facebook page. And I've been chatting today with Dr. Glenn McElhinney, who's the president and CEO of Transform for Life. Thank you so much, and keep tuning in and sharing with everyone.